Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sadly, just after 11 o'clock last night, a fire raced through a building in the High Bridge section of the Bronx. The High Bridge section is just up the hill from Yankee Stadium. And the fallout from that fire really is heartbreaking.
Mayor Bloomberg speaking about the fire that swept through a building in the Bronx last night, taking the lives of 8 children and 1 adult. It was the deadliest fire in the city since 1990, excluding the September 11th attacks. The full details have yet to emerge, but what we do know at this point is that there were 22 people living in the building, mostly immigrants from Mali, who were all related. The mayor said there did not appear to be any violations reported on the building, and he speculated on the cause, a space heater or an overloaded power strip. The house had 2 smoke alarms, according to the mayor, but neither had batteries. We're joined now by WNYC's Elaine Rivera, who has been following the story. Also with us is Bakari Tandia, a case manager and policy advocate with the African Services Committee, a nonprofit based in Harlem that assists immigrants from Africa. And also here now is Frank Field, a fire safety advocate, but you may know him better as a former television news reporter and meteorologist. Elaine, hi. The two of you, Frank and Tandy and Bakari, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Elaine, what else do we know about the fire that's important to report at this point?
Well, clearly, as the mayor said, it looks like a space heater sparked it. There were a huge number of people living there. People did try, neighbors said they did try to save people. Witnesses saw children being thrown from the window. One neighbor said he saw 2 children being caught, but unfortunately another child hit the ground. So people witnessed really horrible things here.
You have some eyewitness tape. Let's hear from this eyewitness. Do you want to set this up?
Yeah, this is Tiffany Miller, who lives on the street, and this is what she saw.
Fire trucks, helicopters, and people screaming for help. That's it. And after that, it's just chaos and death. All the children. Ooh. But they were quiet family, mind their business. They just mind their business. Bad things happen to good people.
And apparently the building had no violations, but the mayor, did the mayor say if the number of people living in one building, and we hear there were 22, contributed to this?
Right. And there were people in the community who expressed anger about this. They're saying that landlords are renting to very large families, that these brownstones and row houses really are not equipped to house so many people. So this is an issue not only in the Bronx, clearly, but in many communities in New York.
Bakari Tandia with the African Services Committee, is that an issue for you?
Yeah. First of all, I would like to say that this is a very sad day for all of us, particularly the African immigrant community here. I think that the housing issue is bigger than that. It is not specific to a particular community. As we all know, the main challenge to anyone living in New York City is housing. For me, this is an alarm to look into the housing crisis situation in New York City.
And I don't have a sense of the size of this building. So when we say 22 people were living in it, what kind of space was that? Do you know, Bakari?
I am trying to get more details about it. So in terms of the space available, I don't have accurate information on it.
I'm told a 2-family home, which would be quite crowded for what we normally think of as a Bronx 2-family home. And the mayor mentioned a space heater and an overloaded power strip. Here's what he said about those.
We have no reason to believe that there was anything wrong here other than a fire started by either a power strip or a space heater, and then a delay in reporting, and then one of those great tragedies that we can't quite explain.
Frank Field, you campaigned to raise awareness of fire safety issues. Do you have any reason to believe the mayor knows something there, or that he's speculating about a power strip or a space heater?
Well, I think this is still speculation until the fire arson people go in and discover what caused it. But I think one of the tragedies of our time is that fire education and fire prevention has been on the back burner for 100 years. it's a tragedy that's come to front because we've got 8 children who died in it. But, Brian, 10 children die every single day in this country, and that means it's over 3,000 children die in fires every year, and nothing is done about that, and that you and I, at a late age, suddenly discover the danger of fire. I was 65 years of age when I suddenly discovered I knew absolutely nothing about fire except coloring, crayons, books, and that kind of thing, going through high school, going through college, no idea of what constitutes the danger in fire, and worse than that is when it does occur. And Brian, you've got to have fires. They're going to occur with overloads, and these things will continue, and unless people learn how to behave, closing doors and all the basics, nothing's going to change. This country has one of the worst fire records in the world.
The mayor talked about closing doors, too, meaning close the doors at the time of a fire to contain the blaze?
Absolutely. This is a door is an important tool, and yet the media have failed totally to promote this. It's everything has been stop, drop, and roll for children, and that's the end of fire education as we know it.
In this case, the fire apparently started in the basement and moved up the stairs, so that's the door issue in this case. What about power strips? Is there a safe way? People use power strips all the time, except especially in our increasingly electrified lives. Are there safe ways and unsafe ways?
Of course there are, and if you overload any kind of a power strip, it will go. But
what do you mean by overload? Because they only have a certain number of outlets.
Well, remember now that many of these buildings that are old have electrical wiring that will fail eventually, because if you bring in refrigerators and air conditioners and other utilities such as that require more power, you're going to have more problems in the building because those wires that are already embedded in the building are not going to be able to keep up with it. But my whole intention, Brian, and fighting and pushing, trying to get people to realize, it's a little too late for my peers to learn that fire is a danger. That door business, that's been around. Firefighters have been saying that for years, for 50 years. Close the door. That's a very simple, basic tool that you have, and yet people don't know that. And it takes 8 children to die and more to bring that kind of a message to the front, and that's wrong. We had, as a matter of fact, you remember that fire at Lincoln Plaza not too long ago where Lionel Hampton, that building fire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody in the media picked up on it, but if had it bothered to ask firefighters what was one of the main reasons that this fire got out of control was that when Lionel was taken out of the building, a window was left open, a bedroom door was left open, an apartment door was left open, and nobody got the warning until Lionel and his handlers went down the elevator. And by then, the fire department, which is just 2 minutes away, didn't get a signal until they were 20 minutes later.
Speaking of the fire department, Elaine, do I understand that the water didn't come out? Was this a fire department issue?
Well, this
right
is
away?
What witnesses were saying. They said that the first fire truck got there about 4 minutes after the 911 call, but they said that they struggled with the fire hydrant. Water wasn't coming out for about 10 minutes.
Well, the sad thing to say, Brian, is that in a fire, a building, another thing that people really don't realize, in private dwellings, a house can go up within a matter of minutes. In apartments, unless you do something to contain the fire, you're dealing in minutes.
Right. Bakari, you've worked extensively with the Malian community here in New York. I understand you're from Mauritania yourself. Do you know anything more about the family that was affected by the fire?
All I know that I have been working with African immigrants in general. What I know is that their living conditions are not different from any other immigrant family here. So they are from Mali. They are very respectful people, hardworking, you know, family, trying to raise their children.
And from what we gather, one man lost 5 of his 11 children in the blaze. Another man, a cab driver, lost 3 children and his wife. Neighbors said at least one of the families ran an import-export business. And when we Google that address, something called the African-American Import-Export comes up. Do you know anything else about the family's business?
Willie, I have been trying to reach the older brother of the man who lost five children in this tragedy. I haven't been able to reach her over the phone.
And according to the AP, the man who runs the business also works at Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx. So this is really, sounds like a classic immigrant, hardworking family.
Yes, that is correct. And we are planning this afternoon to visit the family, to go to the hospital to collect more information about the family, and particularly on the cause of the fire, because we need a further investigation to know exactly, you know, the reason why this tragedy happened.
Are there strong ties between various African immigrant groups in the city? Most other people only hear about these immigrants when there is a tragedy like this, or Amadou Diallo, or things like that. Are there strong ties among nationality groups?
Yes, there is a very strong ties, and we are also working on it. Myself, I am the president of an organization called the Forum for African Immigrant Association, and we have been organizing workshops for capacity building, community leadership development, and what we are trying to do here, you know, how to make a reality the integration of Africa, but even on the continent, you know, there is a change in the mission of you know, the African organization. Right now, we have the African Union with a new mission, and also what is really new is that the diaspora, the old diaspora, and the new diaspora, have become the sixth region of the continent. So you will see that people from different countries from Africa living in one building. So this is an opportunity for us to know each other, to work together, mm-hmm. and to try to build something, you know, beyond, you know, our limited countries.
Yes. Elaine, last question. How soon do you think we'll have real answers as to the cause of the fire?
Well, it'll be when the fire marshals determine, you know, the cause. It could be anywhere from the end of the day to, you know, the end of the week.
Brian, if I may.
And we have 10 seconds, Bakari, 10 seconds.
Thank you.
You want to sneak in a thought? Frank, you can sneak in a thought in 10 seconds.
Well, we need more fire education in order to prevent such things from happening.
Bakari Tandia, policy advocate with the African Services Committee, WNYC's Elaine Rivera, Frank Field, now a fire safety advocate. You remember him from television. Thank you all very much for joining us on this horribly sad day. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.